Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be back with you in this room. Something that was more common a few years ago, but not now, the use of executive order to hopefully positively impact Minnesota. Exciting day here today with an acknowledgement that we have an ever-changing economy. Also understanding that as the world changes and that the knowledge that people gain experience in many different ways, whether it's on-the-job training, it's technical training, it's in the military, it's at previous jobs they've had, that there are many different paths to get to the point you're trying to go. Four-year degrees are one of those. They're an important part of it, but it is not the only way. And this executive order we're signing today is going to open up about 75% of state jobs that in many cases had a list of skill requirements, but also included a four-year degree was needed. That piece will be removed from it. The skills that will be there, people will be expected to be able to apply and then to use the knowledge that they've had to make them eligible for their state jobs. We think this is an incredible way to open up what we think is an incredible way to serve the state, but also good middle-class jobs that come with health benefits, retirement, and the things you can do to help help your neighbors in the state of Minnesota. We have the second largest employer in the state. We have over 1,200 jobs that are available out there, ranging from mechanics to psychologists in the Department of Correction, everything in between. Obviously, the degree requirement things, whether it's a medical doctor, whatever it'll be, those things stay in place, but so many of these jobs, and I was just looking at a couple, the one that's near and dear to my heart, a job description, if you go on our sites and look at MDVA, is a veterans program specialist. That required a bachelor's degree in there, even though all of the skills, and many of them would have been gained by being a veteran yourself and doing some of the work that you did there. That position will now be open to folks and get up to $56,000 on that job with the benefits that go. Those are incredible opportunities for people that, again, yesterday, this four-year degree requirement was a barrier to people going into that. After we sign this, that is gone and opens up those opportunities. So we think this is an exciting way to kind of pivot away a new mindset of valuing work, valuing skills, not just in terms of going through a process because you have the bachelor's degree is the requirement. It's a smart thing to do. We think it's an exciting thing to do. We also think without a doubt there's a big equity piece in this by college being more difficult and accessible for communities of color to bring this one down should open up more of those state jobs on an equity piece. We'll continue in the state to make college more affordable, to make all the pathways more affordable, but with an understanding now, students leaving with student loan debt and finding it difficult to enter the job market, this alleviates that. So I would hope today, not just students, you'll hear from a couple today to talk about what they're doing and what they expect for the future. But I think as parents, myself included on this, it's an exciting opportunity to think the doors that are opening because of this and bringing the idea of your skills to the work you're going to do. So it's an exciting time. We're thrilled to be able to do this. Our hope is, too, is that a lot of others follow. I think that the innovators in the private sector are doing this and are looking at it. We think it's an incredible way to start thinking about what the future of work looks like and making sure that everyone has an opportunity to thrive. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Lieutenant Governor Flanagan.
Thank you, Governor. I'm feeling extra short today. I don't know, behind this podium. Thank you, Governor. What an exciting day. For far too long, four-year degree requirements have stood in the way of job opportunities for highly qualified Minnesotans. But today, we are opening doors. Because at a time when Minnesota has seen seven straight months of labor force growth, we need all of you. And we know that you'll make an excellent employee with or without a four-year degree. And so like the governor said, 17 out of every 20 jobs in local government only require an associate's degree or less. Not only do we want to help more Minnesotans find good-paying jobs, but we're also investing in training for high-demand jobs like technology, trades, caring professions, manufacturing, and education through our Drive for Five program. Our Black, Indigenous, and communities of color of Minnesotans from those communities have faced unjust and discriminatory barriers to employment through our targeted population workforce programs and on-the-job training in nursing, management, and entrepreneurship. So whether you're looking for your first job or a new experience, we want you in Minnesota. And we're here to invest in your success. Because it's our strong, diverse, and thriving workforce is what makes Minnesota the best state for children and for families. And with that, I'm happy to turn it over to Minnesota Management and Budget Commissioner Aaron Campbell.
Thank you, Governor and Lieutenant Governor. I'm excited to be here with you today to talk about this important executive order. Careers in state government can be incredibly fulfilling, offering opportunities to strengthen our communities and enhance the lives of Minnesotans. State employees also enjoy competitive salaries, pensions, and excellent benefits. This executive order opens up opportunities for more people to qualify for those jobs at a time when the state is when state hiring is increasing. We will ask human resources offices and hiring managers to shift their focus when developing minimum qualifications so that people who have relevant work experience, but perhaps not a college degree, will now be able to compete for most jobs in state government. And that's just the beginning. This executive order provides direction to agencies on data-driven strategies that we hope will help us retain the essential state workforce that we have. Our state employees are a tremendous asset, and we know that they have a lot of options in the current job market. We want to keep them in state government, and their feedback is informing the steps that we're taking today. Based on this executive order, we will use a new equity analysis tool to review human resources policies and procedures to ensure that they're supporting our commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. We'll make sure that every employee has an individual development plan and access to related training to help prepare them for promotional opportunities and to ensure excellence in their current jobs. And we will integrate leadership competencies into virtually every aspect of supervisors' jobs so that they have the information and tools that they need to be adaptable leaders who can effectively manage and develop their teams. I want to thank the governor, Governor Walz, for putting forth this executive order and for all that he and Lieutenant Governor Flanagan do to support the state workforce and ensure we have what we need to provide effective services to the people of Minnesota. I look forward to working with agencies across Minnesota to implement this executive order and strengthen our ability to recruit, develop, and retain a top-notch workforce. And with that, I'll turn it over to Deputy Commissioner Kevin McKinnon.
Thank you, Commissioner, and good afternoon. I'm excited to be here for this announcement today to make it easier for Minnesotans to get good jobs in public service. Minnesota has seen 7 straight months of labor force growth. This is great news for employers looking to hire, and there are a lot of them. And government is one such group. More Minnesotans are getting off the sidelines and looking for jobs, but we know there is a huge untapped labor force who could look for jobs if we provided the right path for them to do so. And one of those paths is dropping educational requirements for jobs that don't need it. Many in-demand positions inside government and out can be completed with certificates and on-the-job training. So to improve recruitment and retention and to help Minnesotans secure employment, we need to tear down every barrier between jobs like these and Minnesotans who could fill them. As you heard, many of the jobs that are in state government and local units of government do not require 4-year degrees. It is the right path for some, but it's not right for everybody. And so I'm excited to say that this executive order today is one of several measures that the administration is taking to help connect workers that are jobs with jobs that are right for them. At DEED, we have launched or are about to launch this month new programs to do just this. The Drive for 5 initiative, a $20 million program to prepare Minnesotans for jobs, including those that do not need degrees in 5 high-demand categories: technology, the trades, caring professions, manufacturing, and education. And this week, we'll release our Targeted Population Workforce Program, a $50 million initiative to grow skills training and provide support services for workers who have been historically overlooked and often face multiple barriers to employment, particularly people of color. As I mentioned, this program is launching this week, so stay tuned for that. The administration also continues to invest in career development programs that require straightforward on-the-job training, including the nursing assistant program and dual education training grants. This executive order is a great example of how we're making it easier to connect Minnesotans to the jobs that are right for them. We encourage other units of government, along with many businesses, to join us and support Minnesota's workers and families. Thank you, Governor.
Thanks. Thank you. Hello, my name is William Hunt. I'm a student at St. Paul College. I'm here to talk about my experiences there. And so my entire thing, I'm working towards becoming a CNC tool maker and machinist. I chose machining because I love the active work that we're doing, working constantly. I think that it's very important that you do this, that I think that the trades are very important. I got a bit fumbled with my words, but I do think the trades are important. I think it is essential that this new executive order is passed. I believe that the trades are a dying art that I'm hoping this will truly help it, because over the past few years, it has been harder to get jobs, but with this, it's going to be easier. I'm personally in a two-year degree in which I will learn everything I need to know. There's on-the-job training. I think that this whole law that is getting passed is wonderful. I personally can't sit still. I believe that I am incredibly grateful that something like this is an option for someone. I can't do something like a four-year college. So this entire experience has been wonderful. I'm very happy to see this, and I'm very excited to look at the future. Thank you.
Hello. I'm Cecilia Bell. I apologize, this is going to take me a second because I'm not great at public speaking, but I am in my fourth semester at St. Paul College studying to be an electrician through the Electrical Technology Program. I will graduate this December. After graduation, I hope to enter into the job force and get through the rest of my apprenticeship and be able to go on to become a journeyman electrician, wherever that will take me. Through St. Paul College, our two-year degree, I've been able to get incredible hands-on experience as well as learning the theory behind everything that I'm doing, so I know how to better problem solve in the future. Rather than being told what to do, I'm told how to do it. I do think it's really important for people like me to talk about my experience and how I got to this point. I did start off going to a four-year degree, and I really struggled with deciding if that's what I wanted. I couldn't see myself ending up in any of the places I was. I wasn't happy doing what I was doing, and the trades were never presented as an opportunity for me. All through high school, I was always told, go to college, get a degree, and nobody ever talked about doing the two-year programs through St. Paul College. Nobody talked about how that's also college as well. I was 3 years into my program at two different colleges before I ended up coming to St. Paul College because my mom told me that I should look into the trades because I'm really good with my hands and the math. So I ended up applying because it sounded interesting. I was waitlisted, which broke my heart. But when I did get that call, I was so excited. And I ended up going, and I've met so many great people. I've been able to talk at union meetings for accrediting the school. And I've just learned and grown a lot, and that's what led me to be here with you all today. So I think that this is amazing and a great opportunity for people in the future, and I hope that more people get to see this as an opportunity for them as well. Thank you.
Hold on. Thank you. Well, let's sign it. Thank you. And what's done is tens of thousands of state jobs opened up to people to be able to apply. State does hire electricians and machinists and across the spectrum, and communication specialists, which are open. All of these jobs are now available to folks based on their skills, based on alternate career paths, based on, as we now start thinking about careers clear down into high school, partnering together and making our workforce predicated on the training, skills, and their abilities, not just on passing through a barrier for a four-year degree. So it's an exciting time. We've seen that in the handful of other states that have taken on this, that they have seen great results with it. It's been positively received, and it did have the desired effect of actually spreading and innovating into other sectors where folks start to making this happen. Can't lose any of our folks here. We want everyone to participate, and in state government, as we said, it is an incredible place to serve your neighbors and make a living. With that, we'd be glad to answer some questions.
How many state government job vacancies are there right now?
So on average, we have about 700 new job postings every month. If you looked right now, it would you'd probably see upwards of 1,500. But
so that 75%, what's that in real numbers?
It's about just over 25,000.
Can you talk about, you know, we know that a lot of the legislation passed last session is going to open up new jobs, you know, both immediately and into the future. I mean, is this going to make it easier to potentially fill all those vacancies?
Yeah, we think that it is. That is part of the, you know, great thing about the timing right now. This is coming at a time when we have increased hiring. We actually state hiring is already up, and compared to FY21, it's been up more than 55%, and that was prior to the end of the legislative session. And so I think that it will help.
How does this change the, I guess, application process, the screening? Mm-hmm.
So what we will do is work with HR offices to develop guidance and training around writing minimum qualifications. And so that requires that thousands of hiring supervisors throughout the state learn how to do this, and so that they're thinking about this in a non-traditional way. And so that's part of what we'll do. What that means then is there's not really a change to the application process, aside from that you will see that more jobs are available to you. What it changes is when we go through the applicants determining who has met the minimum qualifications and who moves on in the interview process.
Do you guys have any sort of expectations or projections as to how many vacancies this could help you guys fill in the state?
I don't have that number handy, but we can follow up with you.
What jobs in particular are really short right now that you're hoping this could fill?
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the jobs that we're hiring for are some of the jobs that the legislature funded in this last session. The jobs that we are often short on are on some of our 24/7 facilities, so certainly corrections officers, some of the human services technicians that work in DHS facilities, along with the personnel in our Minnesota veterans homes.
I was just going to say, if I could add one, because this excites me. It's something I've talked about for a long time. I say it both as a teacher and as a parent of young kids, one entering the workforce, one getting ready to on this. Just the thought of going online now, and we know how this looks, any of us searching for jobs, and you look at those minimum qualifications, and it said bachelor's degree, you quit looking. The idea now is you went on there and said, look, I've been a veteran, I've worked in HR in my company, I didn't have a bachelor's degree, but I'm really good at this, and I've hired a lot of veterans, I'd like to work for the state. If that person was looking yesterday, they couldn't have got hired because of that requirement. It had nothing on their impact. I just think of the sea change, the attitude change about how we're saying, we've always said it, now we're showing it. We value work, we value experience, we want you to come in and be a part of this. So I just think of the psychological change of being a job searcher, thinking you'd like to work for state government, and always going to that barrier. And what we know is that barrier is greater in communities of color. We know it's even greater now with the cost of college. We're simultaneously trying to bring some of those costs down, but the massive amount of student loan debt and all of that, to get that bachelor's degree so it got you through the door. And I want to be clear, I'm very proud of a liberal arts degree. I think for myself, it qualifies. And I'm not going to go on there and look and say, look, I'd like to be a neuroscientist. I don't need the requirement. That didn't change. Those are all the same way that are there. But for so many of these jobs, we all know that through life experience, training, apprenticeship programs, you have that skill set. And I just can't think of, there was numerous ones. The one on here was community partnerships around conservation with the DNR. Incredible job. I'm thinking of somebody who's worked their whole life, like Pheasants Forever, doing those types of things, removing that barrier. That is an incredibly important job, and to work for the DNR to be able to get that. I think it was a shift. I mean, those of us of a certain age know where this started to shift. In the late 70s and early 80s, we were told all the manufacturing jobs, all the skilled jobs are going overseas. Everybody needed a four-year degree. So we went from 17% of folks having a bachelor's degree in 1980 to 38% having it today, which is fine, except for we've got a whole lot of people with student loan debts not matching up degrees with skills that they have. And I think we're getting smarter now of matching these things up, not bringing that debt, bringing them in. And in state government, I'm really proud of this one. I think it's a mind shift that brings folks over, and we'll start to get the data. We have to track all this. But boy, my guess is today, if people are listening to this, that there's people actually saying, look, I'm going to give that a shot. I'm going to switch over and see. I think I can get in there now and get a job. We want you to come try.
I think to that point, putting on a hat that I used to wear, working at the management center, one of the things that we hear is that this is so gendered, right? So that women will look at qualifications, and if they don't meet almost 100% of the qualifications, they won't apply. Men have a level of confidence where they will apply if they don't meet all of the qualifications. So to the governor's point, I think that there's just a real opportunity now to say there is a place for me in state government. And once we recruit people, the opportunity to retain them as well, I think, is something that we're really excited about, especially in communities of color or folks who might not have thought, like, this is a place and a space for me for a long-term career and an opportunity for myself and for my family.
Sorry.
Oh, no, sorry. How did you decide which jobs to get rid of the degree requirement?
We looked at the way we did that analysis was really around what jobs are required by maybe a licensure program, some other state or federal law where a degree was required. So absent that, most of the other jobs are moving towards no longer needing a degree requirement.
Can you name what some of those might be in state government that would require a degree, just so we know which ones are continuing?
That would continue? So like a nurse, for example, a nurse would, or a psychologist, or a civil engineer, some of those types of jobs that are going to require some sort of licensure.
I'm fascinated by this, the change in society, that I'm just convinced we started tacking that on at the end when we could, when we just made it harder and that there was a workforce and there were lots of workers out there and we could be pickier and do whatever. We just tacked it on and said you had a four-year degree. And when you go back and look at it and analyze it realistically, in many cases it made no sense. And it was still a legacy of still being there as a barrier, still that legacy of stopping people from walking through that door. So I just think we keep talking and telling parents that there's numerous opportunities for kids. Now opening up the state's second largest employer to the opportunity of 75% of those barriers were dropped and people to be walked through. I'm excited about it. I would anticipate we're going to start to see folks, and as Lieutenant Governor said, opportunities that were cultural barriers to folks that will come through and work in state governments. It's exciting.
Can somebody articulate the change, what the percentage is now that do not require a four-year degree, how much that will scale up?
So that what we anticipate is that 75% of state jobs will no longer need the degree, or will not need the degree. I think we would want to go back and look at what the percentage is for positions that didn't need one to begin with. It would have been a much lower number.
So right now, you don't have a ballpark of?
I don't have that information on me, no, sorry.
Governor Walz, to you, what part of this is the equity piece, and how much of this is vacancies?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, college in itself, the way it was set up, and I would just candidly say this, with the Supreme Court's ruling on on some of the affirmative action that we know historically communities of color have not had the opportunity to get into college. The cost barriers were there. And right off the bat, you can go and look at the numbers that indigenous communities and black communities have lower number of folks who have bachelor's degree. Well, that's a barrier right there. Then we immediately eliminate them because of that. The goal, I guess, there would be, and what we've tried for 40 years, is to lift that number up but still keep the barrier there. So I think it's a big piece on this now is that's a great equalizer now, that your inability, in many cases, be very clear about this. The reason folks don't have a bachelor's degree has nothing to do with their intelligence or their competency level. It has everything to do with the access and the money to be able to get there. Once that's removed, they're able to step in. So I think it makes a big difference. And again, fascinating with Lieutenant Governor talking about this, and she's exactly right. The overconfidence sometimes, and where people look at those and they assume they can't get those jobs. They assume they don't know how to get those jobs, or they're going to be precluded from those. And when our listings actually list things that turn people away because of that and has really nothing to do with their performance in the job, that's a problem. And I think this gets eliminated from that. Should be a pretty exciting time. I would hope today there's a lot of folks, once they get the story and once they know we did this, are online looking at those 1,400 jobs or whatever they might be and say, look, I'm qualified now to get this job. It's like, get it.
Executive order in response to the affirmative action ruling?
No, not necessarily. I've been thinking about this for quite a while. In fact, I got it from when I think the first state that moved on this was Larry Hogan moved on it in Maryland, and he was a first-term governor when I was – he was a second-term governor when I was coming in as a first-term. And when he mentioned doing this, I sat down and talked with him a little bit, and it just made great sense to me. And I think we started looking at this for the past few months trying to put these all together and making the case. But I think those barriers, especially to communities of color, if we're going to continue to just throw it on there and say you needed this bachelor's degree, it seems – you know, we start asking this question, and I asked it about a lot of these jobs. Why? Why do they need a bachelor's degree in this job? What are they going to learn with that four-year degree that they couldn't have gotten on another job or didn't already have? If you can't answer that question, the idea is the four-year degree is a barrier. And I get it. You complete a four-year degree. You show you can get things done. You show you can accomplish a goal. Well, you can do that in your job. You can do that by passing Army training. You can do it in a lot of ways that I think make sense. So I'm excited about it. And I asked my team. I said, when I advertise a job, now this is a little different because we are non-classified folks. Classified folks are state employees. In this office, folks who get hired here stay with this office. Were we asking that people had 4 years degree? And the answer is no. We were not doing that, which is my point that I said is bring folks in. They don't have to have a four-year degree in political science or something to work in this office or communication. They can bring skill sets to it.
Let's do two more on or off.
So moving forward, how much weight will a four-year degree carry with some of these jobs? Will it be where it's not really even considered, or will it be like if someone has a four-year degree versus someone that has life experience, the four-year degree is more important? How much weight is it going to have?
What matters is whether the minimum qualifications were met, and so in terms of whether or not somebody proceeds in the hiring process. So when HR is going through those resumes to identify whether minimum qualifications are met. They're not weighted based on whether or not there is a degree or not. It may be that even in like the hiring process, the interview process, you're looking for the person who has the skills and experience that are that make them the best candidate for the job. And so that's something I suppose that hiring managers will look at, but it's in the context of all of their skills and experience.
Will that impact then like a starting salary? If you have a degree, will you start at a higher salary than if you lack a degree? Will it still be a differentiation at that level?
Yeah, where we hire people on within a pay range is often based on their skills and experience. Again, we're looking at all of their skills and experience, so it's not necessarily the case that somebody with a degree is going to earn more. It's the breadth of their skills and experience. But the more experience they have, the higher they will be placed in that pay range.
Final thoughts, Governor?
You know two jobs that don't require a bachelor's degree? Governor, Lieutenant Governor, by the way. So folks would say it's about experience, about life experience. That was not on there to say you have to have this to get through this hoop. So I'm excited about this. These questions are great, and I think those are the ones that we want folks to start engaging in. But there's just incredible opportunities here to view work differently, to view experience differently. And I think there's a whole lot of people who, to be honest, felt excluded from the economy. I think they feel frustrated. I think there's a bit of populism that goes with this and saying, I know I could do this, but I don't have this fancy degree or whatever it would be. Whatever that narrative is, it creates a split amongst us that doesn't have to be there. And we bring all folks in to try and work together. And certainly getting a degree shows that. And if they've got more experience, we all know this. We go back for professional development and we get a certificate that shows we did this. And you can move up doing those. This is recognizing there's a lot of ways to get that. There's a lot of different ways to make that happen. So grateful you're all here. Encourage Minnesotans as a closing. Go online, look at each of these sites. If you're interested in everything from corrections to electricians, give us a look. You're now going to find yourself, as of a few minutes ago, that minimum requirement of bachelor's degree is gone. So thank you all.
Thank you. Can I just ask, have you become less reserved on your Twitter? I saw this
weekend. My staff was on vacation yesterday, and so I was just wild. And so, no, I got all excited. I got my brother-in-law took me to the 49ers game on Monday, and I became all excited about this. As a football coach, things kind of come and go. I got excited about this, so I got on, and they let me tweet a little bit, and which was kind of fun.
What did you do with Cousins' injury?
Oh, awful. I feel terrible for Kirk, and I said, you know, wherever you'll be on professional sports, they kind of bind us together, and it's what we do as Americans, and it's just really unfortunate because I've been making the case of you know, being guilty of being pretty hard on our Vikings and our Vikings quarterbacks or whatever. He was MVP quality at this, and then to have this injury is just too bad, but exciting this year. And it was Andrew Zimmern explained to me the difference between salsa and pico. So I learned something in all that tweeting, so that's good. But thank you all. Grateful.
Thank you.
Did you see him? Thank you both.